Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We're talking about three steps to becoming a profitable servant of Christ, as found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. The first one is flee youthful lusts. The second one is pursue godliness. And the third one is to avoid unprofitableness. We covered the first one on the last two broadcasts, and we're ready for number two today. And we'll get into it just as soon as I welcome you to this Tuesday, February 1 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And as I thank those who help us financially maintain this program on this station. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. All right, three steps to becoming a profitable servant of Christ. Number one, flee sinfulness. Flee also youthful lust. Number two, pursue godliness. But the verse goes on, the same verse, 2 Timothy 2:22, but pursue, and there are several things listed here. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And it says, with whom we are to pursue these things as well, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So pursue godliness. That's the other side of the coin. There's something to get away from, namely sinfulness, particularly youthful lust, but there's something to run after. There's something to run away from. There's something to run after. There's something to avoid. There's something to pursue. It's not enough to simply avoid the most blatant forms of unrighteousness, but it is also necessary to pursue godliness. Godliness, in other words, is more than don'ting, it is also being and doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes people think that being a good Christian is don't do this, don't do that. Well, that's right, but that's not all. That's right. The old cliche, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with girls who do. You've heard that, I suppose. Well, that may not make you a godly person, and it may not make you a profitable servant of Jesus Christ. Just because you don't smoke and chew doesn't mean that you are a godly person. Yes, flee youthful lusts of all kinds. Flee youthful lusts. That probably would be a good idea not to go with girls who do smoke and chew, because they probably are the wrong kind, who will lead you into sinful temptation, but that's not enough. It's not enough to be a don'ter. You must always also be a doer. And the key is you've got to be a doer. It starts with what's inside. But the way to do that is to pursue certain things. You've got to pursue godliness if you're going to have godly character. Because godly character is the most important qualification for service. And remember, we're talking about three steps to becoming a profitable servant of Christ. So there's something to run away from, but there's also something to run after, to run hard after, to run hard after Christ. Now, what is it we are to pursue? And there's several things listed here. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Pursue righteousness, that is, righteous conduct, godliness. Pursue those things that the Bible tells us please God. Pursue those things that the Bible tells us are godlike characteristics, are Christlikeness. Pursue those qualities that the Bible tells us God wants to work in us, those things that represent the fruit of the Spirit, those things that represent the additions to our faith, as Peter tells us, add to your faith virtue and so forth. These are the things that we are to pursue, and they're not going to overtake us. We've got to overtake them. I heard somebody say it again the other day, and I hear this from time to time. Well, I just pray that God will give me more of a desire to be like Christ. Well, that's good. That's right. I'm not trying to belittle praying that way. I think you ought to pray that way. But if you don't put feet to your prayers, if you don't actively run away from fleshly lusts and run after Christ-likeness, then God isn't going to answer your prayer. It's not like God's going to knock you over the head and drag you in the right direction. God expects you to exert yourself in the right direction. Some things to avoid, some things to pursue. There's a great book that I have read more than once. A book that the ladies in our church have recently studied in their ladies' Bible study entitled Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. It's a classic. Everybody ought to read it and study it. Pursuit of Holiness. And he takes as his text that verse that says, without holiness, no man shall see God. And he shows how that God requires that we pursue holiness. The pursuit of holiness is the name of the book. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. It's a lifelong pursuit. Will we ever achieve perfect holiness? Not this side of eternity. We will not be entirely sanctified until we get to heaven. But we won't be much sanctified at all if we aren't working at it, if we aren't exerting ourselves, if we aren't pursuing it, if we aren't actively resisting temptations. I have known of people who, on the one hand, would pray that God would give me greater desires for Christ-likeness, and then go out on Friday nights to nightclubs and drink and carouse, and then wonder why they're not making any progress toward holiness. Oh, come on! Don't be an idiot! How are you going to make progress toward holiness that way? Flee youthful lust. Don't throw yourself in the way of temptation and then say, oh, I just fell into temptation. I'm just so weak. Yeah, you are. But you're more than weak. You are disobedient. You are more than weak. You are foolish. You are more than weak. You're stupid. Sorry to put it that way, but that's exactly what the truth is. It's like throwing yourself on the railroad tracks in front of an oncoming train and then wondering why God doesn't keep you from getting run over. Throwing yourself off a building and wondering why God doesn't keep you from getting hurt. Come on, the Bible tells you what to do. Number one, flee youthful lust. That's pretty plain. Number two, pursue righteousness. You've got to work at it. You've got to keep going at it. Day after day after day after day. You pursue righteousness. Number two, you pursue faith. You have to develop your faith. Now, it's not clear whether this word should be understood as faith or faithfulness. Entirely different concepts. There actually is a relationship between them, but there's not a close, obvious relationship between them. Faith is one thing, exercising faith, trust, belief in the Word of God. Faithfulness is being trustworthy, being dependable, being faithful in those Christian duties, those Christian disciplines that God has given to us. Whichever one this is, we are to pursue it. We are to develop it. We are to develop our faith. We start with a low level of faith. Doesn't take a great, highly developed faith in order to lay hold on Christ. All you have to be is a sinner aware of your sins and commit yourself to Christ and Him alone, and that's enough faith to save you. Even the faith that's small, like the grain of a mustard seed, can accomplish great things when that faith is placed in a great God, when it's placed in the great promises of His Word. It's not how much faith you have, it's where you place your faith that counts, but yes, faith can be developed. And we can start out with a mustard seed size faith, and we can end up with a boulder size faith, but that only happens slowly over a period of time as we develop our faith, and we have to work at that. Pursue righteousness, pursue faith, or pursue faithfulness, if that's the word that is intended, the interpretation, the translation, I guess I should say, that is intended. Pursue faithfulness. How do you do that? By just being determined to be faithful over a long period of time. You can't be one of those kind of Christians who does what's right when you feel like it and doesn't when you don't. A lot of Christians who are committed to being, and this is just one example of faithfulness, committed to being in church every time the doors are open, unless they are truly providentially hindered, unless they are sick, unless they are out of town, unless they're by the bedside of a dying loved one or something like that. Otherwise, they are going to be in church. They have developed faithfulness by determining to be regular, systematic, habitual, and they've developed faithfulness. And I know other people who just, well, they show up once in a while. They show up when they feel like it, and if the slightest little thing comes along that makes them not feel emotionally like being in church today, like overcoming whatever it is that's in the way of their getting there, putting out the energy and the effort to get up and get going and be there, if they don't feel like it, they're not there. And they just live that way year after year after year after year. They never develop faithfulness. And they never become a profitable servant of Christ. You've got to pursue righteousness. You've got to pursue faithfulness. You've got to pursue love. Love. Agape, self-sacrificing love, volitional love. These are loving deeds, loving actions, not so much the way you feel. It's not so much an emotion or a sentiment as it is an activity to love your neighbor as yourself, to feed him when he's hungry, to clothe him when he's cold, to show kindness to him. Not just your enemy, but your Christian brother and your friends and neighbors as well. You've got to pursue that. You've got to work at that. It doesn't come naturally to fallen sons and daughters of Adam. It comes deliberately. It comes with determination. It comes with commitment. It comes with surrender to God, because God says this is what Christians are supposed to do and be. This is the second great commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's not easy. I've got to work at it. Right. Pursue righteousness, faith, and love. Pursue peace, the absence of hostilities. Pursue, work hard at getting along with others rather than stirring the pot. Some people are always stirring something up. That's not godly. Other people are working at making peace. That's godliness. Pursue it. If you want to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you do. There's something to avoid, youthful lusts. There's something to pursue, righteousness, faith, love, and peace. You know, we can do these things if we will. Pretty easy to see what they are. We just have to keep them before us and keep moving in that direction. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.